Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have my husband, Dudley Denader, back as my guest today. Dudley is a business owner, graphic designer, aerial and architectural photographer, writer, musician, singer-songwriter, and an inspiring and fun dad for our son, Xander. Join us for a conversation about our celebration of 40 turns around the sun, which includes graphic design, photography, singing, songwriting, and what it means to live your music in a variety of ways. Welcome, Dudley.
Welcome. Hi. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yes. It's noon, so it's afternoon by a minute right now, or at least close to a minute. I'm so excited to have you back on the show and to be celebrating all the things we have to celebrate this year, even though it's been an awful year in a lot of ways for so many people and for us. It's also been a year where there's been a lot that we have to celebrate, and that's one of the things that helps keep me sane, I know, is to celebrate the things that we're grateful for. And I'm so grateful that this fall it's been 40 years since you came into my life and stayed. And I'm also grateful that you started your business in 1980. And I think where I'd like you to start, though, is tell us a little bit about starting Denader & Associates in 1980. And we're going to, just for the listeners, too, we're going to go through decades. We're going to go through the 80s, the 90s, 2000, 2010, and then up to 2020. And when we get to the last part of the show in the 2020, I think we are going to play a fun song for you that we have almost finished. So look forward to that. All right. So 1980, start there, Dudley.
Oh, well, in the 80s, it was a time that I was living on a houseboat at the time. I had built in 1973, rebuilt from the ground up. I had to refloat it and put a new roof on it and so on and so forth. And so I spent a lot of the time doing that. Toward the end of the 80s, I realized that I had to really make a living. And so I started working for a number of agencies, a couple in San Francisco, McCann Erickson, Murphy & Associates out here in Marin County, and so on and so forth. As an account executive, as a designer to some degree, I helped direct some of the things. And then there was some work we did for McCann where I actually did design as a freelancer type basis with that agency. But then I got to the point where Adolf Gasser was one of my first clients, and they wanted to put out a catalog. And I remember that was really my first big job. So I had a lot of photography and illustration to do and a lot of page makeup and everything to provide that to the printer so that it could actually happen. It was my first big deal. And then after that, there were a few other clients that came on board. Matthews, Top of the Hill Daily City, was my client for a while toward the end there, which is everybody that has been part of the Bay Area, especially back in the 60s and 70s, remembers Matthews, Top of the Hill, Daily City.
And, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that? And I did some catalog work and some promotional advertising and stuff for them. And at the time, I was working at a small ski shop, and I remember he was very upset because I had scheduled to go Healy skiing through my work, and they had paid for that, and he wanted me to do this big job that happened to correspond to the same time. And it was the first time that I told a client no. And I went on the ski trip, and that was the last time I worked for him. But I started working for a number of other people and just scrabbled my way into a business that I started in 1980, finally got all the licenses, and really made it work in 1980. And that was really the time that we were starting to get to know each other as well. We had known each other, I think, toward the end of 79, but we had started to really date in the year of 1980. So a long time ago, a lot of things that have transpired since then. We ended up taking a year off and then got married in 1982 after we got back together again and realized that we couldn't live without each other, and that's truly what happened. And so it's an interesting aspect to look at that and see that as, you know, what happened.
Well, your
but
timeline
I have
a
never
little
been
bit off,
so
but...
happy that I married you and have stayed married to you for 37 years. Is that what it is?
It's 38 this year, I think. Yeah.
38.
Well, the thing is, you got that timeline a little confusing because some of that, what you were saying, was happening in 78, 79 prior to just starting
right.
the business. And also, I met you at the beginning of 79, and it was
right.
during 79 and the first part of 80 that we took some time off and just were friends. We stayed friends. The timing wasn't right when we
first met. That's true. We did a lot of lunches.
Met each other. Yeah, we did a lot of lunches and had good times as friends, but it wasn't until the fall of 1980 that we started dating and ended up staying together. So, woohoo! 40 years of being together, and in 2022, it'll be 40 years that we've been married.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. It's coming right
yeah.
up.
Time goes fast.
It really does, and it's so amazing to notice that in 1980, cable television came in. VHS players were being used. And personal IBM computers, those were the first, and IBM, Apple and Compaq were first come in. And then the fax machine. I mean, it's an amazing time that we've come from. And then Compaq discs for music first started being used. Now they're not even using Compaq discs anymore. I mean, we still produce them, and I still record
mm-hmm.
music on them and give them to people, but now people have nothing to play them on. It's so strange.
I know.
And the Apple Macintosh, and we are definitely Apple people. So it's just an incredible time in the 80s. Mobile phones were released in the 80s, in 1985. One of our first page makeup programs, Quark Express, Adobe Illustrator was released in 1988, and that really started the graphic design business on the Apple computer. They took over at that point. It got to the point where all the applications were being written for both either a PC or a Mac after that. But prior to that point, just when they first started coming out, the Apple really was the machine. So it's an interesting.
I remember
time.
That. I remember the first one you got, a computer you got, was an IBM, and I didn't really like working on that. It was really cumbersome. And then I remember in 1985, I started working with you part time at Donator and Associates, and it was just after that, like you said, that Quark Express and Adobe Illustrator came out. And I took to Quark Express like a duck takes to water. I just love being able to do the page layout. I've always loved books, and so the idea of working on publications with you and doing the layout for huge publications was exciting
to
me. I
really,
really
loved
that. Go
right back to a point where Margot actually came to me prior to computers and said, well, I think I might want to work in your business. I have an art background, and I'm very good with visual and color and stuff like that. And I said, great, let's do it. So I showed her how to lay out a project on the big boards with all the overlays and then having to, you know, wax down type and all this other stuff. She wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
I hated that. And I hated, you know what I hated the most, though, Dudley, was the dark room.
I was never fond of the dark room, and I'm a photographer. Go figure.
Yeah, I never wanted to get into photography once I took a photography class for a little while and had to deal with the dark room, and I decided, nope, don't like that. I don't want to do that.
When I was at Art Center, I used to get out of the dark room, and my fingers would be orange, and I would smell funny. And then you have the old owl eyes, you know, you go out into the light and you feel like you're in a mole that just came up from the underground or something like that. But it was really the smell of all the chemicals that got me more than anything. I just really couldn't take that. I really didn't.
Oh, I know. That was
digital photography saved a lot of problems that way. But I spent many hours in the dark room studying photography at Art center and then doing it by myself.
Yeah, yeah, it's so true, you know. And I would not have stayed working in the graphic design business if it hadn't been for the computers coming in, because it was so awesome to be able to play with it. And
yeah.
I remember when Gary Carr from PKF Consulting, when he had said to us, "Well, what do you see on the computer?" And I said, "Well, we can see the actual layout." And he's going, "Wow."
Yeah, I remember that. That was
and
in
I
the
knew.
90s, so we're skipping ahead into the 90s. Well, I guess we are going into the 90s, but that was called WYSIWYG, or what you see is what you get. Because previously you'd seen a screen with all the dialogue and the little characters that described what that dialogue was going to do in the finished document. But you didn't get a chance to do that unless you looked at a preview of what it's supposed to be. And oftentimes the preview didn't look the way it was supposed to, so you'd go back to the original screen and you'd mess with a whole bunch of stuff and look back at the preview and it still didn't look right. It was really, really a point of time where all of a sudden then WYSIWYG came along, and then that's what I remember when the design aspect of the world changed because of what you just said about the aspect of being able to play with something
mm-hmm.
rather than just putting it down and saying, this is it. Now we can look at it from this side, that side, reverse every other color in the universe, however you want to see it. You can quickly make those changes rather than going back to square one and recreating the wheel each time. So it was amazing. And the quality of artwork in the 90s, I would say, was the most dramatic of all the different eras that I'd been through, because more computers were being used, more people had the availability to create things, and then second guess, go back and change this and that and the other thing and hone it down. Just like any good process, it takes a lot of refining to really get to the final. But that was amazing to see that happen.
Oh, I know. I mean, that was so cool. And then, well, having started out on the IBM, though, that was really good because it showed me what the people that were dealing with IBMs and their businesses were dealing with, and spreadsheets and Lotus 1-2-3 and all these other things that I really didn't want to deal with ever again. And I was so thankful, though, that the Apple and Macintosh computers came out, because it did make it fun. It made it so that we could play with the things. We could make things bigger and smaller and rearrange them, and it wasn't like we had to pay to have the type reset, which we did at the beginning, too. We used to, back in the 80s, remember when we had to, you'd have to count the characters and figure out how many letters would fit in a place. And sometimes
you would cut them out with your
X-Acto knife, you know. When there was a typo, it was a big deal back then. And, oh, my gosh. But it all led us into the 90s, and the most exciting thing, obviously, though, for in our life for the 90s was Xander, and he came into our life on January 1st, 1990, and oh my gosh, he added so much fun to our life right from the beginning.
Really did. It just changed everything, but such a beautiful way. And I had been always kind of a loner type of a person. I never thought I would get married to begin with, let alone have a child. And then I found myself with a family, and it was really an unusual position for me to be in. But, boy, I took to it like duck takes to water. I really enjoyed the entire time. I can't think of a time that I felt out of place or I really didn't want to be there or any of those kind of second guessings that you could perhaps go through. But I never felt that way. And our son has been more than a joy in my life the entire time. He still continues to do that, and he surprises me almost every time we talk. So he's a wonderful guy, and I look forward to spending as much time with him as I can. Unfortunately, now he's in Southern California, but that's okay. We'll make it all work.
Yeah, well, thanks to Zoom, though. That's one of the things I've liked best about this year, is that forced my Toastmasters Club to start using Zoom for our weekly meetings, which got me used to using Zoom, and then I got the idea that we could have Zoom visits with Xander once or twice a week. And that is so cool because we can actually see him, and we can sit in front of the computer, the big computer, and see each other and screen share and do all sorts of things. But, yeah, we're getting way ahead of what the timeline is. So.
Well, the one of the cool things that happened in 1990 also was Photoshop was introduced, and that also changed a lot of the aspect of computer graphics. The power of a program to be able to take a photograph and then divide it into layers and add and subtract things and add in other graphics and vignette out parts and create transparency portions and anything you want to do is just popped on me, and it took me years to figure out how to use that program. But it's just one gorgeous piece of software. It's just incredible what you can do with that program and how you can turn things around and really take something that is kind of a marginal look and just dress it beautifully if you really know how to do it. So Photoshop, I celebrate really a lot. And the other thing that happened shortly thereafter is I was hired by, I think it was Colliers International, to shoot a building at the end of Van Ness, which was down toward the water. And it used to have been the old Kodak building, and they were going to turn it into offices, I believe. And so they needed aerials and an offering memorandum and all the photography and everything. So I shot the photography and did the aerials and produced an offering memorandum. But that was the first time I'd gone out in an a helicopter to shoot aerials. And I hired a Bell Jet Ranger out of Sausalito, which at the time was expensive for me, but nowhere near what it is now. It's probably close to about $1,500 an hour now. I think I paid maybe $300 an hour. But we went over there and did it on the way back. I was actually, they had the door, complete door off in the back, and I had a belted harness on, so I could actually stand on the outside skid if I wanted to. But I could lean way out the door, you know, so that there was no problem with the aircraft or the rotor or anything getting in the view. And the pilot asked me if I wanted to fly over the North Bridge, North Tower of the Golden Gate Bridge, and I said, yeah, sure, we're on our way home. So I flew over the North Gate Tower, and right when he started to get close to the tower, I looked out, and all of a sudden the airplane or the aircraft, the helicopter, tipped to the side. He did a pirouette right around the top of the tower. And that's the time that I shot that one picture that's been used in so many publications and so many promotions over the years of the North Tower of the Golden Gate, that beautiful picture. And it was all just, I was just holding the shutter down. I wasn't even really doing anything but trying to focus thing and just hold the shutter down, as fast as I could. And that was one of the productions that came from that, was one of the pictures that happened during that little time.
Yeah, and it's still on the front page of the website, too. It's under aerial photography. That is such a beautiful picture of the Golden Gate Bridge. And
well, the
people can see it.
The compliment of that picture was the fact that about 20 years ago, I was looking through a publication. I think it was Communication Arts or one of the other graphics communication magazines, and they featured a picture that was almost exactly like mine. Someone had seen it, apparently, and gone out and recaptured the same time of day with the same background and the bridge and everything else. And I thought that was the highest compliment I could be paid. Somebody had gone to the trouble to actually recreate that image.
Yeah, it's a beautiful image, and people can see it at denador.com, D-E-N-A-D-O-R.com, our website. But
put the plug in there.
Hey, you know, if they want to see more of your work, that's where to go, is denator.com. But let's
then
see.
And the other thing that happened in the 90s that was amazing is you started, well, our son was going through the Kentfield school system, which is a wonderful place for children to learn, especially if they're not in a private school. This is probably the best alternative. Kentfield schools were incredible. And part of the foundation, I was part of the foundation, and during the same time, you started creating the Kentfield Schools Directory. You'd taken it from this little spiral-bound thing that was pretty much a throwaway into what was described as the Cadillac of school directories.
Oh, so, I remember when Karen Dively called and said that she was at one of the some sort of event that was for all sorts of directors of school foundations, and she said
right.
that's what she said, that people are going, oh my God, that's the Cadillac of school directories. And yeah, I had so much fun doing that from 97 until through 2006 while Xander was in high school even. And you know, that it was such a great feeling to be a part of the community and to be able to give back to the community by using our abilities and our skills and our talents and our computers, definitely. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember those years, Xander and I in the fall would spend a lot of time on the weekends and time when you would normally be there together, just ourselves, mm-hmm. because you were buried in a computer with stacks of, you know, all sorts of different pieces of paper that described advertising and school lists and photos and all sorts of things that needed to be included in the directory.
Yeah, we had over 325 advertisers in there, and there was a lot of the ads that I put together, you put together, my friend Maria Bennett put together. She was the one that did all the family lists and the lists of the advertisers, and it was amazing how much money that tree brought in for the schools. It was a great feeling. And then you started being the Cub Master for
Yeah, I was the Cub Master of PAC 59.
Yeah.
Ross Valley.
And also the baseball commissioner. You know, that was like
And then commissioner, I was the commissioner of RVLL, Ross Valley Little League, from 98 to 2000, and that was for the minor leagues, and then Xander went another couple years and got into the junior league, which is the league that follows the minors majors transition for the younger boys into just before high school. It's the junior league, and I was the commissioner of the junior league for a couple years, and then actually coached a team in my last year as a juniors coach. So a lot of baseball, loved the game, and my son does too, and ended up being a real star, both as a catcher and a pitcher. So strong player, very good boy.
I remember his art teacher in Mrs. Severs, I think her name was, in Kent Middle School. Remember that when she asked us, she goes, ask Xander what makes him feel most alive, because, you know, she was saying that he was so good at art, and he really was. And she was thinking that he should do maybe some advanced art classes when he went to high school. And when I asked him, he said baseball made him feel the most alive. And when you think about it, being the pitcher or the catcher, either one or both, like he was, that really, I mean, you have to be so in the moment. You have to totally be in the moment.
Those two positions actually define the entire game. I mean, the pitcher is the author of most of the action, but the catcher is actually orchestrating the entire game for the team that's on the field. Everyone looks to the catcher for direction, and it's amazing position. Once you see somebody go through learning how to do that and understand what the real responsibilities for that position are, you realize in the major leagues, what an amazing position. Like Buster Posey is probably the quintessential catcher of the decades, and it's so amazing to see the way he plays the game. And Xander, when he got into it, was very similar in his approach. He was very, very mindful with everything that happened on the field and was fully involved in the direction of all the plays and stuff. It was really cool to watch.
Yeah, he loved that. He still loves it. He still loves baseball. It's still one of his favorite things. Wow. You know, it's amazing when we look back at all these things that happened during those times. And that was the 90s were also, though, when the Wi-Fi started happening, the internet. I remember when we started using the internet to email people, and that was, like, amazing at first. And that really helped with doing the Kentfield directory, too, because we could email the advertisers, and Maria and Karen and I could email each other.
Yeah, in the 1980s, there were fax machines. We forgot to talk about fax machines. They were introduced in 1982, and the same thing happened in the 90s with Wi-Fi, because all of a sudden then the internet completely took over, and that was a revelation, obviously, in itself.
Yeah. And then the other thing that happened, it says at the end of 1999, Adobe InDesign was released. And so I had gotten to be a master at Quark Express, and then I started learning how to use InDesign and started liking InDesign better. So then I had to transfer all the directory files and all of our clients' files into InDesign. And
yeah.
So did you, you know. And yeah, but I'm so glad that we did, and we're still using Adobe InDesign for our page layout program, and we're still using Illustrator and Photoshop. And do you realize, I was thinking about this when you said that earlier about getting started with Photoshop when it came out. You've been doing Photoshop for about 30 years.
Wow.
Isn't that wild when you think about that? And I remember one of our interns, won't name names, but I think you'll remember who it was, who said, well, can I put on my resume now that I know how to use Photoshop since I've opened it?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was one of the other cool things, was some of the people that worked with us that that we had during the different times. And we had Craig.
Well, Andreas was really one of our favorite I call
well,
him my
Dwayne.
Assistant because he was, and Dwayne too, but Andreas came in and what he was fascinated with InDesign before we got involved in it, and actually took a class in it and started telling us all about it, and that's what got us involved in making the change. And
no,
then we'd
I
go
don't
back
think
to him.
So.
Oh, yeah, it was. I remember the time.
Well, anyway, first Craig Beeson worked with us, and then Dwayne worked with us for a few years, my brother Dwayne, and that was really fun having him down there also, because he was able to go to the – he's the one that got us started on digital cameras. That's what Dwayne
right.
got us started on. And then later, Andreas got us to switch more and more from the Quark to the InDesign. So, yeah, it is amazing, and it was fun working with both of them. And I think they overlapped for a little while before
yeah.
going back to Shasta County.
Yeah,
and
I think that's
yeah.
true.
So let's see, where are we? We're in the, okay, we're in, starting the 2000s now. And wow, the 2000s. We've already done the 80s and the 90s, now the 2000s. Well, some of that is still overlapping from before. And the thing that was most amazing in the year 2000, though, was Xander was in fourth grade. We went to the PTA meeting where they give out the awards, and I had, every year I had been so excited about everybody getting more parents getting community service awards and thinking, wow, that would be so awesome to get one of those. And then in the year 2000, we got one.
Yep.
And I remember I was so excited I couldn't even talk.
Well, it was funny. They called me. I remember being at my computer station upstairs in the third floor in the houseboat. And I think it was, wasn't Karen Dibley.
It was
maybe
Julie.
It was Karen.
And Julie or Julie Kastrup or Marlee.
It was Julie.
Zeisler, yeah.
Now, that's who it was. It was Marlee Zeisler. Called me and said, you can't tell her. I said, what? She goes, you can't tell her, but you guys won the Community Service Award. And I went, oh, my God. And she goes, we really want to make it a surprise. We figured we could get one of you, you know, and tell one of you. We figured it'd be better to tell you than her. And I'm laughing. And so I had to pretend that I didn't know this entire time. They were doing all this prep and everything. And this is a big deal. This is not a little thing. And the entire community comes out and celebrates. And every year that they do this, I think they celebrate more than one family, but there is a number
yeah,
of families, two, three or so, that are highlighted and given this award. And it's really something. This is not a minor thing. And, boy, when it happened to us, I mean, I know we'd put in our dues and we had played, you know, I was – member of the foundation, you had done so much work with the directory. I had been, you know, working with the scouts and baseball and everything else. So we got the Community Service Award that year, and it was amazing to watch you completely speechless, which is not an easy thing.
The only two times I can remember being totally speechless were that time, and then also when Frankie Avalon's assistant called me. when we got the backstage pass to go meet Frankie Avalon.
That's true. Greece.
Yeah, that was
Greece.
Yeah, for Greece. That
and
was,
for Frankie
I think,
to tell
beginning.
Xander that he's the new teen angel, that was cool.
Oh, I know, because Xander had been doing acting through Kent School and Vector Theater Company, and
right.
he was Teen Angel and Roger in Greece. And so, yeah, we were like, how can he meet Frankie Avalon? You know? And I remember I FedExed Frankie the picture over to the Orpheum Theater of Xander singing Teen Angel song in front of the whole group of kids. Oh, that was so fun. That was one of my favorite memories from the beginning of 2003. And then toward the end of 2003 was when we went to Soundtech Studios for the first time and started recording songs with
Great.
Robert. And, yeah, that was so much fun. We had so much fun doing the first songs. And, very first one was your song, Lost in Space, Found in Time, which is still
yeah,
one of
my favorites.
Yeah,
still one of my favorite songs, too. It's funny.
Yeah, that's
But that was
Holiday
such
Under
a fun
album.
Thing to do. The thing that it was interesting, the process, as you remember, Robert didn't really want to do it. He
mm-hmm.
kept saying, oh, yeah, I'm sure you could find a recording studio that's closer to you and stuff like that. It's not as expensive. But my whole problem was I'd been in studios before. I had been in recording studios previously all over the place. And they're fairly cold unless you have somebody there who is warm. And
mm-hmm.
Robert has a way of just filling in all the holes and making you feel like you're a star right there. So it's an amazing feeling to go in and start putting down track and see this whole song come together as you'd never intended or expected it to with his additions of all the music that he was playing. We ended up playing all the guitars. We ended up singing all the parts that were sung except for a couple little places here and there, and writing about 99% of it. Robert helped with a few songs, changing things and augmenting them himself. But even without that, just his playing the bass, synthesizer and keyboards and drums is
mm-hmm.
just an amazing thing to see this whole thing come together with a musician of that caliber. So it really was great for me to see my music that I'd been living with for years and years and years all of a sudden come to life.
Well, which is something that I forgot to mention, or we didn't mention earlier, for the people who aren't as familiar with us, that you used to do music for a living. You were in bands and went on the road and did all that stuff way before I met you, and you had turned into a graphic designer and photographer by the time I knew you. And you would play your guitar all the time and had songs that you had written and that sort of thing. But, I mean, it wasn't until when we started going down to Campbell, which is a bit of a drive, but it's worth it,
yeah.
to have Robert. And like you said, he makes people feel so comfortable. And I've been there for every single session with you guys, whether or not I was part of it. Well, in the beginning, I wasn't. I was just watching and standing in the shadows and feeling jealous that you guys could do those things. But,
well, you're starting
yeah.
your own course now.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, it just, that was the beginning of it. And then Xander got involved in it. He started learning to play guitar, and he started playing. He played, his first two songs were on the first album, the Holiday on Earth album.
Yeah, yeah. Feeling Numb and Ride the Fire.
Yeah, I still love those songs, too. I love all the songs on that album. And Holiday on Earth, it's funny, you know, because it really is about, like Earl Nightingale talked about enjoying your time on this beautiful planet and making the best of it and doing what you love to do and in service for other people. That is such a big part of enjoying your time here on Earth.
Yep. Well, the other things that happened, boy, I mean, talk about 2004, Facebook begins, and there's GPS on iPhones. that was another huge turn. That was amazing when that happened. And the Tesla electric car was finally released in 2006. And then the most amazing thing from my point of view is the aerial drones, especially the ones that were first commercially available by DJI from China, were released in 2006. And that changed my life entirely. I had previously flown aerials in small planes and helicopters, going up countless times. Not a real big fan of flying, per se. I mean, I got used to it after the fact. But, boy, the first couple times I was white-knuckled the whole time.
Yeah,
but
well, it was worse when you'd come back and tell me about how you were hanging out of the helicopter. I hated that.
It's windy.
Yeah.
It was really, but then drones came in and that just changed everything. And now
that's when they first came out. But when did you actually start using the drones? It wasn't that long ago.
I think I first purchased a drone about 2008 or 10.
Maybe 2010. I can't remember at this point. That's something
I don't remember when I first did. I've had three now, so it sometimes kind of overlaps and gets confusing.
Well,
pieces of equipment.
Yeah, let's finish the years from 2000 to 2010, and then we'll get into more about the drones there. But one of the other things that happened in 2003 was we changed the name of the business from Denator & Associates to Denator Marketing Design. And the reason that we did that was because my friend Maria, when she was putting together the database of the families and the businesses for the Kentfield School Directory, had said, you know, a lot of the businesses, I can't tell what they do from their name. And so I thought, no, Denator & Associates, you can't really tell. So at first we thought we'd change it to Denator Marketing Design. And that stuck for a little while. Later on in 2011, we changed it again to Denator Design & Photography. But during the 2000s, besides we had the release of the Holiday on Earth album at Rafters in San Rafael. That was so much fun.
Yeah, that was cool. We had people come from all over the place for that. That was neat. I remember Bill and then his dad and his stepmom came.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of people that I didn't expect to see. There's some people that were from Alex's high school, from his class, showed up.
Yeah, and from my Toastmasters, Ed and Eleanor Sotelo were there, and some of the other people from the Toastmasters Club. And Rafters was such a cool place, and that was such a cool logo that you designed for them. I'm really sad that they aren't still around, but that was a really, really fun place and a fun night. And then Xander in 2008 graduated from Redwood High School. So, you know.
Rafters, I designed that in the 2000s, so the logo does show on the other side.
Oh, it's in the, it's on.
Yeah, it's a little bit farther along.
Oh, speaking of that, though, that reminds me, the Hyatt, the Kelly 5 logo is in that era,
in the 2000s,
too,
early 2000s.
Yeah, that's right, because we took Xander to the Hyatt Maui for the first time in 2001, and then you had wanted to get him a T-shirt, and she said, well, we're going to redesign the logo for the
Well, let's explain who she was. Explain who the she was.
You tell the story. I'll let you tell the story.
Ronnie McAfee is the assistant to the general manager at the Hyatt in Hyatt Resort in Maui, and just a wonderful person. Just has been like a close friend ever since we met her. We ended up meeting her because it was our 20th anniversary, I believe. Or close to it.
We were celebrating our 20th anniversary, but actually the year before.
We mentioned I mentioned that to Ronnie, and I said, but, you know, we'll see you there, and so on and so forth. Well, we got there, and because it was our anniversary, and we had been there during our honeymoon, they upgraded us to the top level and put us in a hotel room on the top two floors of Regency Club, yeah. So in order for me to, I thought I was blown away by their generosity, and I was really appreciative and so on. And when I found out they didn't have a logo for this T-shirt, that they were waiting to reprint the shirts because they didn't have a logo, I went upstairs and I created the logo, and I sent it back down to she and the GM, who at the time, I don't remember.
Okay, Barry Lewin, maybe, or?
Barry Lewin. Good. And they both loved
it,
so we went through the process of making sure they had the correct digital files and then put together all the other graphics that we needed for the Key LE5, the actual striping on the boat and the sail. They had a special decal they put on the sail and everything, and so we had to, you know, coordinate all that stuff. But it was really an effort of love. I just really adored it. And every time we'd go back there, which we did quite a few times, we couldn't pay for anything. We'd go on the luau or we'd go for a boat ride or, you know, something like that, and it was all complimentary. So
I know.
It's been
it
a wonderful
so awesome.
Relationship with the hotel and with the Regency Club people that we've gotten to know and really meet their families, watch their kids grow up. I mean, it's an incredible
part. And
they
watched Xander grow up, too, since he was 11. And that reminds me, they also helped us celebrate when he graduated from Redwood High School, and then we were able to go back just after he graduated from Chapman University also. And
we were there when he got his first job at Wipeout as an assistant editor.
We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. So
Wow,
we've only got 19 minutes left, though. So anyway, the end of 2008, though, we also, he graduated high school, started Chapman University, and we also released D2, the Donator's second album, which was co-written with you and Xander together, and all recorded with Robert Barry. And oh my gosh, that was so much fun.
Oh, it was. The writing, and I remember because we did it one song a month. And so, and then he was busy with stuff, and I was busy with stuff, and how he pulled this all together, I really don't know. But he'd come up with a lick, and I'd listen to that and go, ooh, that's cool. And then he'd go, yeah, and then let's put it together with this, which might be another thought from one or the other of us. And what does that sound like? Okay, well, it sounds like whatever, and that could be the title. And well, then we'd go back and forth and throw ideas back and forth, and the next thing you know, we had this working song.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that for most of the songs in the album. I think we wrote at least 8 or 9 songs together. And then there are the rest of the songs, of which there are, how many are in that album? 13?
Well, anyway, we're running out of time, so we'll generalize here.
Yeah.
But some of them you wrote by yourself. Some of them Xander wrote by himself.
Right.
But then, you know, there was the ones that were done together. And 2007, I just remembered, too, that was when I got so jealous because you guys were playing gigs for 6 weeks live up at Marin State.
And
it was because of that I got so jealous that I finally signed up for singing lessons because I couldn't stand it. And I decided I wasn't going to listen to my grandmother anymore saying that I should forget about singing. And I've been singing since.
Yeah, well, you get a chance to hear your voice in a few minutes.
Yeah, because in a little while, we're getting into 2010 to 2020. And okay, so in 2010, the Apple iPad came out, but also we changed our name from Donator Marketing Design to Donator Design and Photography in 2011, which it
still is.
Well,
the primary reason why I did that is because I started doing much more photography. Dwayne had been our photographer for quite a bit of the time in the late 90s and early 2000s and got into digital photography, and we both explored that, and he helped me a great deal with choices of cameras and with how I wanted to go. Yeah, but I mean, it was really a great time to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And now we've got cameras that are amazing and ways of
and
doing
drones.
Things incredible. And
and doing more and more hotel photography and commercial properties, but especially hotels have been really fun and really pleasant. And that's also, you know, you'd gotten involved with Marin Management back in way back in the 90s.
You designed
their logo.
And
you've been working for them ever since, and we're still working for them, doing amazing, You've been doing
John
amazing.
John just retired a few months ago. Now Pat Mitchell is the head of the organization and doing a fantastic job. So we're really glad he's still involved with that group.
Yeah, there's been some amazing people we've worked out with, and especially with the trends in the hotel industry, Gary Carr and Robert Mandelbaum and Alita. We worked on those until just last year.
Oh, and then Bob Eaton, how much a difference he made in our lives, not only through the process of working for Colliers International Hotels and producing countless offering memorandums for hotels all over the place, but then just his referrals to other people. I think that's where we were introduced to Gary Carr and PKF and a number of other hotel clients. I remember I worked with Marriott for a while, with Sheraton for a while, in development. All sorts of different things came from the referrals from Bob Eaton. He was an incredible friend. And
He's still an incredible friend. He's not gone.
Well, he's in Arizona now, but... He's still
so we don't see
friend.
Him that often, but yeah, he and Laura and his daughter, oh my gosh, they were such a great part of when Xander was growing up, and boat rides out on the bay and
oh god, the boat.
You know, what we forgot to mention is that you built the houseboat that we have in
Sausalito. Yeah.
You built that in '81, and then we lived there from '82 and through '89, and then we used it as our office.
It's going to be in a major motion picture toward the end of this year.
Yeah, anyway, we used it for our office all the way through like 2008, 9, 10, and then 12 we started renting part of it, and then we did a major remodel of it during 2018. And now it's been rented to these two awesome guys that we really love. Since 2019 and all of 2020, and they love living there. And it's just, you know, it's been just such an amazing life that we've been living. And a lot of it doesn't seem real, and a lot of it people, I think that we're just lucky. But, you know, we follow our hearts and we do creative things. And I remember when I first found out that you had built the houseboat or were building the houseboat and that you had designed it, I thought, how could he do that? I know he can do a lot of things, but how did he do that? And it turned out you had studied architecture and I didn't know it. So, it's been an amazing, amazing life.
Really has. And then... The other thing we mentioned is the West Coast Songwriters that we've been a part of since 2014. And in 2016, was that when we decided to be, became the managers of the San Rafael chapter along with Laura Lee Brown and Bob Crane. And
that's been so much fun.
Wonderful time and continues to be, even with the Zoom meetings we're doing now. We're doing a new format, which is more of, songwriters sing in response type thing. In other words, we're reacting to the songs that people are singing and giving them ideas, thoughts, things to ponder. And it's helped me write songs during this process.
Well,
there's been a couple times.
Yeah, we're calling it songs in progress or works in progress is what West Coast Songwriters likes to call it. But yeah, because we couldn't do the competitions anymore, and actually I don't miss the competition aspect of it at all, but this has been so awesome because Zoom has forced us into doing these, and these have been collaborations instead of competitions, and so that's
But the competition
really
aspect of cool. West Coast Songwriters is important, and then the links and the communications that you get through West Coast Songwriters, into the film industry, into the record industry, into any industry that's using any kind of music at all, is amazing. I mean, it is possible. It does happen. Things do come from this association. So that's one of the things that I really like about it. It's not really happened for us at this point in time, but our music is a little bit more alternative than mainstream, so I think that's probably most of the reason why it's been in that category. So,
well, and our music is all music that came from our heart, and it doesn't fit into one particular category. So, it, you know, we can't be categorized, and we're not doing it just to make the money. We're doing it because we love it and for people to enjoy the songs. So,
yeah. Well, speaking of songs, are you going to play the song?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to play a song that is, well, it's still in progress in the sense that Robert says it's not totally finished and Dudley says it's not totally finished, but it's really close. We've been working on it and another one called Smile and Free Fall with Robert. Those are our latest songs. And Free Fall, we're going to finish and finish this one also on the 13th. We're going to go back down to Soundtech for a half day and finish Free Fall, which is a really cool song. I wish I could play that for you today, too.
Oh, needs work. I don't want to play that one until it's finished. This one is...
Well, I don't have it uploaded, so don't worry.
Okay.
I have Smile uploaded, though. And the thing I love about this song is that we wanted people to smile. And when we sing it live or even on Zoom or even when we just practice it at home, it makes us smile and it seems to make other people smile. So I hope it makes you smile while you're listening to it right now. Did you want to say anything about it before I play it, Dudley?
No, go
ahead. Talk about it after. Okay. All right.
Creating a memory.
That song always makes me smile, Dudley.
It's fun. It really is.
Well,
I enjoy writing songs with you, and listening to you and I sing together makes me happy. It's the sound of our voices together is really unique. And, we're going to get to the point where we're going to sing a harmony here and there and so on and so forth, but I'm still in the process of really understanding what our combined voices sound like, because it's really unique.
Yeah, well, I'm really thankful that you're fine with us singing together, because just singing is so exciting for me, and I'm finally getting used to the idea that I can sing and that I can do it actually pretty well, and that I can listen to it and go, oh, that sounds pretty good, and people tell me it sounds good. It just, with my history on being so afraid to sing for so long, it just, that's the thing. Your heart's desires, what you really, really love, and what is your music, really your heart's desires, I think, are living your music. They're scary because they're so important to you and they're so exciting.
Yeah.
So,
that's really the case. That's going to mention that, because the frightening aspect is that it matters so much.
Mm-hmm.
But it is cool when it works.
There was a quote in one of the Hallmark movies that we were watching recently that I've been thinking about a lot, and it said, "Butterflies mean you care." So in other words, when you're feeling a lot of butterflies about doing something, it means you care.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, there's what I call it is the gulp factor. If when you're starting to do something, you take a big sigh and a gulp, and it's kind of like, okay, here goes.
I like to also think of it as feel the excitement instead of the fear. Feel the excitement and do it anyway. Because it reminds me that excitement can help neutralize fear. We've only got 3 minutes left, and, I just have to say that life with you is so much fun, and life with Xander, and we forgot to mention that in 2012 he graduated from Chapman University and got his first job as assistant editor on Wipeout. And
we did mention that, actually, but we didn't remember that Xander was hired for the original Netflix series F is for Family in 2016, and in 2020 he got his first editing credit. In other words, he's been an assistant editor, but he's been doing a lot of the cutting himself. In other words, he's been putting this show together as well as the regular editor for quite a while. So they finally broke down and gave him editing credit. They now, instead of calling him an assistant editor, he's now additional editing by Xander Denader. So that was huge.
For Family, yeah.
Yeah.
And you got your remote pilot's license from the FAA
right.
In 2018. And you joined the Lions. And also, I forgot to mention that I started my blog talk show, Live Your Music, in 2013, just before the end of 2013. We only have 90 seconds left or so. So what do you want to say to everybody? I want to say Live Your Music.
It's been an amazing ride. It really has. And I'm glad that we're still in good shape and we're enjoying life even with the bother of this pandemic we're having to get through.
Yeah.
And that, we enjoy what we do. I constantly, when anybody comes up to me as a younger person and seeks advice with regards to something that they're considering or a way of life that they want to pursue, I just want to make sure that everyone in the world will do what they love. You can't help but be good at it because you just keep doing it. That's, I think, the bottom line. It's just that if you really love it, you'll do it whether you get paid or not.
Exactly.
You'll just keep doing it. And, if you get to that point, then you're going to be a master at whatever it is that you're interested in because you're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. And you have to be willing to do it as a hobby at first or maybe forever. But, do what you love. That's what makes you feel most alive. And that's what I want for everybody, is to feel alive and to enjoy their life and to celebrate life as well.
It's really been a tenet of our family, and it's really helped us a lot. And the fact that our son still loves to hang with us, just the three of us, is a tenet to the fact that, we've really had a lot of fun. And growing up in a non confrontational type of a family. It's been very enjoyable the entire time, and he's such a smart boy, man, that, you know, you really have to respect his mind even more than my own in some cases. It's just, he is very bright, and I just appreciate all the thoughts that come out of his head.
I do too, but you know what? We're past the time, so they're going to probably cut us off totally. We're off the live, but hopefully this will be recorded because that was beautiful. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for Xander, and I'm thankful for this beautiful cat Bender that's on our desk that we've had.
Me too. I love you, dear.
Love you too. Live your music, everyone. Live your heart's desires.
Bye
for now, Dudley, and bye for now, everyone.